بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, dear travelers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Most chances are that you haven't had your lunch yet, or perhaps if you had an early breakfast, you've had an early lunch. Or if you're fasting, or perhaps you're dieting, you're going to eat tonight. Whatever the case may be, there are a few considerations that are going to go inside or behind your choice when you decide what you're going to eat. Now, of course, it goes without saying that you're going to first follow your inclinations about what you feel like eating. Okay, so if you feel like having sushi, you'll have sushi, most likely. If you feel like having biryani, you'll buy some outside after Jum'ah, inshallah. If you feel like having a burger, you'll get yourself a burger. Whatever you feel like eating, first of all, that's probably going to be the first consideration before you decide anything else. Okay, so what do you feel like eating? So that's a given. After that, you will likely have, and most people will have, either two considerations or at least one of the two. Okay? So you're either going to then figure out and decide, and perhaps subconsciously, whether what you're going to eat is halal or not. Okay, most believers will consider that, at least for a second. Okay, so it's, you know, if it's something that you're eating in a Muslim environment where there are people who know about the guidelines of halal and haram, you'll probably just assume that it's halal and you'll move on to the next step. Or if you eat elsewhere, then perhaps you will think a bit more about what you're eating, whether it is halal or not. Another consideration that you might have, or people who don't have the first one, the halal aspect, may have the second consideration, and that is to figure out whether what you're eating is healthy and if it is nutritious or not. Is it wholesome or not? Is it good for your health? Is it good for your diet? Right? So either you'll have the two considerations about it being permissible and being wholesome and healthy, or you might have one of the two. And this is exactly in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, not just us the believers, but everyone, when He says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ O people, O mankind, كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا Eat of that which is lawful and pure or wholesome in the earth. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. Now we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us guidance for our own benefit. The guidance, the guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us are for our own benefit. Otherwise, if we do not follow the guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, then we can cause harm to ourselves. It's like going against the user's manual and the instructions and the proper care instructions for any item. If you don't follow them, you're going to end up with problems. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to eat that which is halal, which is permissible. Now the opposite of that, of course, is haram. And that's prohibited. And these are the things which are known to be harmful to us or for us in the divine wisdom and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His knowledge. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise. He is the most knowledgeable. He knows that something is bad for us. He makes it haram for us. Okay, He says, don't go near it, don't eat it. You're going to keep yourself out of trouble. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has outlined what is prohibited. And this is because of His divine knowledge and wisdom that He possesses, that which we do not possess. We may try to find different reasonings why, you know, explore the wisdom behind the prohibition. At the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows about it alone. Now, the things which are good, which are wholesome, which are pure, these are the things that we know that aren't harmful for us. These are the things that we know are beneficial for us. We know the harms of eating junk food. We know the harms of eating unwholesome food and taking in an unhealthy diet. And these are well known. And you go to the doctor for your appointment, for your checkup, and the doctor will tell you about your diet. The nutritionist will warn you. They will highlight the things that are important. We have the Canada Food Guide for healthy eating. So we know the fruits and vegetables you should have X amounts of servings every day. Whole grains you should adopt, you should have. You should cut down on your sugar and your sodium and so on and so forth. So these things are clear and they are established about what is pure and wholesome and what is not. Now clearly this verse of the Quran, which I just quoted, is addressing food and eating. Kulu, eat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly talking about eating. But eating is a form of consumption, obviously. Okay, when we eat, we are consuming. And we know what we consume with our mouths has an effect on us. We know that. That's why we are careful about our diets. That's why we read the ingredients. We check the nutrition label. Because we know it's going to have an effect on us. Physically, primarily, that's what we're worried about. But also spiritually and many other ways. That's why we worry about halal and haram. That's why we worry about food that is wholesome and nutritious and food that is not. But my brothers and sisters, what I would like you to do today, by the way, my talk is not about food. Okay? What I would like you to do today is to consider and think about another type of consumption. What I would like to do, and I've been thinking about this myself as well, is to think about and consider another type of consumption. And this is the consumption that's not done with our mouths, but rather this is what we consume through our ears and our eyes. Because what we consume with our mouth first goes into our stomach. Our throat first goes into our mouth, obviously, our throat, and then into our stomach. And then it goes wherever it needs to go. But when we consume with our ears and our eyes, that consumption goes straight to our spiritual heart. What we consume with our eyes and our ears goes straight to our spiritual heart. And whatever we consume with our eyes and our ears affects our spirituality. It affects our mind. And ultimately, it affects our behavior and our choices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ السَّمَعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. That surely the ear, the hearing, the eye, the seeing, and the heart, each one of them shall be interrogated about. We will be asked about what we consume with our ears. We will be asked about what we consume with our eyes. And eventually what ended up in our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly that these are things that we are going to be questioned about. It's not just about what we eat with our mouths, but all forms of consumption. Whether they're through our mouths, our ears, our eyes, and whatever, wherever they end up, that's all going to be questioned about by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn from the teachings of our faith that the unrestrained evil glance, the look, which is not a benign look, the look with evil intentions, or that's looking for things which are impermissible, that has been described as a poisonous arrow of shaitan. It has been described, that one glance has been described as a poisonous arrow of shaitan that goes straight, that attacks the spiritual heart. Each glance is like a poisonous arrow of shaitan. This is how it has been described, and you'll find this in Islamic literature if you study it. And it attacks the spiritual heart. Now the verse which I quoted, the ayah of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. It goes on. As I said, it's about food. It goes on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says immediately after that, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمَ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. He is an open enemy to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about eating. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about shaitan and the footsteps of shaitan. And he says, he's an open enemy to you. Do not follow him. What does he do? إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالسُّوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ. He orders you only to do evil and immodest acts. What is shaitan interested in? In evil and immodest actions. This is what he is interested in. This is what he wants to lead you to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us clearly, do not follow in the footsteps of shaitan. Now this should be obvious to everyone, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterates this over and over and over again in the Qur'an. Do not follow in the footsteps of shaitan. He is an enemy to you. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he's an enemy. Take him as an enemy. Consider him to be an enemy. Recognize him for who he truly is. And what does he command? He commands that which is evil and immodest. This is what shaitan commands. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, let us for a minute, or for a few minutes, or perhaps longer, hopefully, think about our habits of consumption. The consumption that we do not through our mouths, but through our eyes and our ears. Let's think about that for a bit. And I'm talking about media consumption. And it's interesting that that term is used, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about eating and consuming. And now the term that we use, right, in the industry is media consumption. That's what we use in our society, right? The media that we consume. What are we watching? What are we listening to? Because these are the avenues that are going to lead straight to the heart. It's a very important question. And we seldom ever talk about it. Right, but think about it. What are we watching and what are we listening to? Because that is going straight to our spiritual heart. And Shaitan's mission, he has made it very clear. Right? So it should be no surprise to anyone. As he is quoted in the Quran, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. He made it clear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will come upon them. Who's the them? Us. The human beings. Then I will come upon them, not from just one direction. No pun intended. From their front side, and from their behind, and from their right, and from their left. Right? So Shaitan is making it clear that he's going to come from all different directions. This is clear for us. So don't expect to just face him from the front. Be ready to be blindsided. He's going to try to snatch you from different and catch you from different places and different positions. So my brothers and sisters, let us think about what we watch and what we listen to. How halal, how permissible and how wholesome is it? Again, the verse of the Quran talks about eating. But we can take extra guidance from that with regards to all of our consumption. So how halal, how permissible and how wholesome is what we consume with our eyes and our ears. Because whatever it is, it will affect the heart. No matter what it is going to go straight to the heart and it's going to affect our spiritual heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the Qur'an. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, and we sent down of the Qur'an that which is a healing and a mercy for the believers. The Qur'an has been described as healing and mercy for the believers. Okay, so if you listen to that, that's what you're putting into your heart. You're putting Allah's mercy and healing into your heart. If you listen to poetry that expresses the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love for His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what you're going to lead your heart to do. Those are the things that your heart is going to love. If what you consume with your eyes and your ears is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will grow your heart in the remembrance of Allah. Because the heart is the center of spirituality. The spiritual heart is the center of our spirituality. And it guides us more than our intellect. Our heart, our spiritual heart, guides us more than our intellect. It is the primary source, the center point for our actions and our decisions, because that's where we start feeling things. Once we feel, then our mind gets into action and starts figuring out how to satisfy that desire. So our heart is what really matters. So my brothers and sisters, what are we feeding our hearts? Our hearts are described as vessels, as containers. Our spiritual hearts are described as vessels, as containers.
My brothers and sisters, what are we filling up our hearts with? What are we filling these containers with? What are we pouring into them through our eyes and our ears? Think about all the TV shows that we watch, all the movies, all the stuff we see on the internet, all the music we listen to. What is it filling up this container with? What are we putting into our spiritual hearts? How much of it? This is an honest question to ask for each one of us. I'm not looking for any answers. All I'm hoping for is some self-reflection. In myself as well. Everyone. All of this material that we are consuming, that's going straight into our hearts, into our spiritual hearts, how much of it includes evil? How much of it is filled with zina? With prohibited intimate relations and talks of that? How much of it is filled with shamelessness? How much of it is filled with immodesty and violence and drugs and alcohol? All the things which are prohibited. All the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. All the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests. And all the things that shaitan loves. All the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And all the things that shaitan absolutely loves. إِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ This is what he enjoys. This is his livelihood. This is exactly what he thrives on. So how much of what we are consuming, how much is made up of this? Now you see, we may be watching things which we think are relatively benign. Right? You're watching the news, you're watching some documentary. Okay, even online. But even the commercials that come up, you may think, well, they're pretty benign. My brothers and sisters, what is benign for us today? Allah knows best, but it would probably be a scandal and it would be a tragedy at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions and the pious predecessors. We think it's benign. We think it's like whatever. Oh, it's just, you know, yeah, it's rated, whatever. You know, it's fine. Back then, it would be rated as a scandal and a tragedy. This is the level of the benign material that we're coming across today. So everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates and everything that shaitan loves, that is what makes up a good chunk of the media that we consume today. And so this is what we are sowing into our hearts. This is what is pouring into our hearts. It's flowing right in. It's not even coming in slowly. It's being poured right into that container, into that vessel, which is our center, the center of our spirituality, the center of our existence pretty much. So it's then no wonder that our hearts are so far from the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given of the hearts of the believers. It's like, duh, no wonder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ Certainly the believers are those whose hearts are filled with awe when the name of Allah is mentioned. What's the true description of the hearts of the believers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Surah Al-Anfal, that when the name of Allah is mentioned, their hearts are filled with awe. But that's not all. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا And when His verses are recited to them, it makes them more developed in faith. It increases their faith when the ayat, the verses of the Qur'an are recited. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ And in their Lord they place their trust. Now if you notice, all of these things have to do with the heart. Right? When the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, to have awe in our hearts, that has to do with the heart. To have strength in our iman when we hear His verses being recited, that has to do with our heart. Placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has to do with our heart. Our heart has got to be into it. But how is our heart going to be into it when we're pouring all this junk and garbage into it? We're filling it up with filth. And subhanAllah, I get mixed emotions. It makes me really angry, but it also makes me sad. It almost makes me want to cry. Because shaitan is attacking our children as well. And we don't realize that. I know because I deal with our children. You know what they're drawing in class? I'm teaching tafsir of a surah. And our children, these are like my children, and I care about them all just like I care about my children. They're drawing Jay-Z. They're talking about Justin Bieber. These are children in grades 2 and 3. My dear brothers and sisters, if this is who they look up to at this age, when they're in the masjid, when I'm teaching them about the Quran, what are their hearts developing into? What are the seeds that have gone into their hearts? And it's not their fault. They're innocent. They're children. What plant is going to grow out of that heart? Because they're looking up to these singers. They're looking up to these movie stars who are promoters of evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them hidayah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. Right? We don't hate the person. We hate the deeds. Okay, they're promoting evil. They're promoting everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates and everything that shaitan loves. And they are the ones who are glorified in the media. They're the ones who are talked about on the news. Justin Bieber gets arrested for drinking and driving. My kids know about that in my class. Grade 2. Right, because it's on the news. It's the headlines. You're doing something benign. You're watching the news at home. And it's a top story. So that's what the kids are picking up. They're looking up to them. Hey, this guy must be important because he's on the news for drinking and driving. Otherwise, there's millions of people who drink and drive. They're never on the news. Right? So even though you're not directly supporting it, they're understanding that, yes, this is someone that I look up to. This is someone who's important. In commercials and ads, that's what they're seeing. Talking to their peers, this is what their peers are talking about in school. That yes, these are people that you look up to. They're our role models. And subhanAllah, even the parents. My dear brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. Do you even pay attention to these lyrics? You come across these songs, Gangnam Style. Have you even read the lyrics? Have you even paid attention to the lyrics as you're listening to these songs in front of your children? Forgive me, I don't mean to offend anyone. But it makes me very upset to the point where it wants to make me cry. Have you even paid attention to what we're listening to? We're going to have dance parties for our children because we want to do it in a halal way, so we'll do it separately. Then we'll play these filthy lyrics for our children. And we'll encourage them to get themselves involved in this indecency and the shamelessness. What types of seeds are we sowing in the hearts of our children? What do we expect from them? By giving them this halal alternative, which is a mockery of the word halal. Please, I don't mean to be harsh. Just think about it. Okay, there's a study I was looking at from the University of Pittsburgh. And I quote, "Music is known to be highly related to personal identity." Not my words. Quote from that study from the University of Pittsburgh by professionals. Public health report. You can find it online. "Music is known to be highly related to personal identity. Young people often model themselves in terms of dress, behavior, and identity after musical figures." These are not my words. This is a direct quote from that study. I'm not making this up. "In addition, exposure to popular music is vast, with the average adolescent now listening to about 16 hours of music per week." And this is like 8 years ago. "Most popular genres of music with young people, rap and hip-hop. And they are the ones that contain the most indecency." Okay, so this is what our young people are looking up to, and apparently some parents as well. Either because they don't know, they haven't paid attention to it, or because they don't care. See, one of the things that shaitan does, it makes the ugly and the vile seem beautiful. It will take something which is disgusting. It will take something which is vile. It will take something which is just pure ugly, and he'll make it appear beautiful. This is what he promised to do. When he said, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, said, "My Lord, because you have put me in error," right? And this is another characteristic of shaitan. I always blame someone else. Right? So he makes the mistake himself. He's the one with the arrogance, and he blames Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, "You're the one, because you put me in error, I will surely make disobedience attractive to them on earth." And who's the them? the them are all us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will make disobedience, things which are wrong, which are prohibited, which are ugly, which are vile, attractive to them on the earth. So it looks like they're doing something really good. It appeals to their desires. They'll enjoy it. It seems beautiful. But in fact, it's evil. And what's the last thing He said? And I will mislead them all. That's His mission. He must mislead everyone. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is my plea to you. Please be very careful and be very selective about what you expose yourself into first. Because that's another problem, right? We're going to tell our kids not to do something, but we'll do it ourselves. Okay, so please be very selective of what you expose yourself to, what you allow into your home, and what you allow your ears and your eyes to consume. Because you see, Shaitan wants us to be spiritually bankrupt. He wants us to be spiritually bankrupt so that we're Muslim by name. Right? When the census form comes, when they ask about our faith, we write Islam. They write that we are Muslim. But spiritually, it's like a hollow Easter egg. You know, kids, when you find an Easter egg and it's a nice big egg, chocolate egg, you got all excited and then you poke a hole in it and you realize the whole thing's empty. And it's just a shell of chocolate. Right? So this is what Shaitan wants us to be like. He wants us to be spiritually bankrupt so that we're Muslim by name. And we associate and say, yes, we are proud of Muslim culture. But our hearts and our minds are totally captivated by evil. They're all washed out. There's nothing left inside. Very little left inside. Right? So that when we even come to the masjid and we are listening to the recitation of the Quran, it doesn't appeal to us. There's no attraction left anymore. Because we've just listened to so many songs and so many lyrics that they're still playing in our minds subconsciously. Right? This is what Shaitan enjoys. Because he knows if he comes to you and he says, okay, leave Islam, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. So what does he attack? He attacks the core. He says, take out the core, and then you'll have nothing. Say that you have a very nice, beautiful car, take out the engine. What good is that car? Nothing. Right? So this is what Shaitan is trying to do. So please, my dear brothers and sisters, this is a reminder for myself and for all of us. Number one, recognize Shaitan as an enemy. Recognize him for who he truly is. And be on the lookout for his traps. He's always going to be putting traps for you all over the place. You're not going to have it safe. He promised that already. That's clear. So be on the lookout. Be cautious, number one. Number two, please examine your consumption habits. Just like you worry about your food, right? Think about what you're consuming with your eyes and your ears. Pay attention to the lyrics and the message. What message are you getting from this? What message are your children getting from that? Remember, فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ He orders one to commit shameful acts and evil deeds. This is what he wants. And this is what he's going to try to expose you to. And we are falling for it. We are falling for it. Number three, cut off the sources. Or at least start weaning off. Because once you recognize the problem, then you got to do something about it. Best way to do it is to cut off the sources. I've told you before that I love eating bread, but it's not good for me. I eat too much bread. So I discovered that the best way to cut it off for myself is just not to go in the bakery section. If I go grocery shopping, I totally avoid the bakery section. Unless I really need to get something. Otherwise, I'll just walk right by it. And that way, I stay clear from that trouble. Right? You know, I get calls from Belcan every once in a while offering me a better deal, a triple package, phone, internet, and TV. And I tell them, I don't have a TV, and the call ends up pretty quickly, right? They just hang up because there's nothing to offer me. But really, if you have all these channels at home, do you even know what your children are watching? Do you know what they're watching when you're not there? There's a lot of stuff there that they could be watching. And a lot of times we'll come across children who know a little too much for their age. And sometimes I wonder, where is that coming from? Right? So you've got to be careful and conscious about these things. So try to cut off sources as much as possible. Find alternatives, especially for our children. Finding an alternative doesn't mean that you take the same garbage and give it to them in a nice way. Associate it with Islam or with the masjid. Have an event, but have garbage there. Feed them filth. Just put the name of Islam. Giving alternatives doesn't mean that, because you're still giving the same garbage. Finding alternatives means that you try to find something pure. You try to offer something that is clean, that is pure, or a new activity altogether. don't just repackage the same filth and just present it in a nicer way. That doesn't cut it. It's still filth. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, please, this goes for myself first. Let's increase our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Increase the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His protection. Right? Because Allah tells us, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that verily the prayer protects you from these types of immoral, indecent deeds. But we see that's not happening. Even if you offer a salah, we don't see the effect. Right? It means that there's something wrong with our hearts. You're offering salah, but our heart is not into it. So we're not getting the desired benefits. So let's try to increase the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, and do it with our hearts. Right? Put our heart to it. Cut yourself off from the filth and put yourself, immerse yourself in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for His protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our hearts and our minds, especially our youth, away from all the type of garbage that's out there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to control our nafs and our desires. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with purified hearts. Ameen. Wa khul da'wa alhamdulillah.